Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Monday, March 19th, and we're glad to be able to come to your place of listening over WSOF and WAJJ Radio, and looking forward to spring. Spring is officially to arrive tomorrow. Amen. And we're looking forward to that. And thank God for a good day today, though it's raining now as I'm making this recording. And it's been a nice day thus far, a little overcast and some drizzle, off and on rain, but it's raining now and supposed to rain, I think, into and maybe through the night. And then tomorrow clear off and be some nice days in the days ahead. But nonetheless, we're thankful for every day that the Lord gives us. Thank God for the rain. He lets it rain on the just and the unjust, and the rain is needful. The rain is a blessing. Now, sometimes we feel like we've had too much. Maybe we complain about it. But there are some places not too far away. For example, Kansas, where my dad lives, says that they've not had any measurable rainfall in 8 months. They'd love to have a little bit of what we've got. So we ought to thank God for what we have. Amen and amen. Well, let me just mention a few things and then get ready to pray and move right along in the program. Let me mention to you that we had a good day yesterday in the Lord's house. I appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Hope you had a good day in the Lord's house as well. And we had a good week the previous week as we were in meeting out in Mississippi, and just had a good time there. Had a lady come forward and prayed in order to be saved, but she didn't really get it settled. It didn't seem to have a clear understanding, really, of what was going on. And so we're going to add her to our prayer list. Her name's Teresa Hansen, and we're going to be praying for her that God would give her clear understanding, because I don't believe you can get saved without knowledge. I don't believe you can get saved without understanding the work of God in salvation. Amen. And not that you must understand it all, but God doesn't save us without understanding. And if he did, he could save little children, but he does save children that have come to recognition of right and wrong. But anyway, this lady had some mental difficulties, it seemed, and we're going to pray for her that God would bless and help her. But we had a good meeting, good preaching, and a good presence of God, and then glad to be able to be back, glad to see Brother and Sister Hall back as they made it back from their trip out west as well. And then glad to see Brother Woodard back with us yesterday morning in the services, morning and evening. And that was a blessing to be able to see him back. He's been out for a while with some sickness. And just thank the Lord for his goodness. Thank the Lord for Brother Kuhn being able to be out at Beaver Dam yesterday preaching for Brother Cooper and the good folks out there. We appreciate that and want to keep them in our prayers as well, that God just bless and help and meet the needs. While we were in Mississippi, we got to see one of our missionaries, Sister Carolyn Howard. Brother Doug Howard was a missionary. Her and he were missionaries and had to come in the field because of health problems. Brother Howard passed away. We still support Mrs. Howard and haven't seen her since the funeral, actually, since the death of Brother Howard. And it was a blessing to see her down there in Mississippi. And that was just a privilege. Glad God's touching and helping her. She's battling cancer and a lot of health issues, but she's going on for the Lord, and that is a blessing. Amen. And amen. Well, I better quit just talking and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I love you. Thank you for the privilege to make this broadcast. Thank you, dear God, for the good day you've given us. As I said, thank you for the rain. Thank you, dear God, for your blessings upon us. Thank you for the opportunity to sow the good seed of the gospel. Father, I pray that you'd help that the good seed fall in some good soil, that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we are praying for revival. We're longing to see a move of God and a difference made in our country and in our world and even in our church. And even in our own life, Father, I pray you'd send revival. I pray, dear God, that you'd stir the saints of God, that you'd produce a hunger. I know you said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And Lord, I'm convinced one of the reasons we're not filled is because we're not hungry. And so, Father, I pray that you would produce in me and then in others a hunger for the things of God. Father, have your way. Bless and save those that are lost. I do pray for Teresa Hansen that you'd give her understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I sure do appreciate you praying with us, and thank God for the privilege to pray. We're going to get ready to move right along in the program. We're going to start a new message today, continuing along the thoughts about considering Job. This will actually be our fifth consideration of Job as we're looking today at Job's wandering. We're going to be looking in Job chapter number 3. We've been looking at chapter number 1 and telling some of chapter number 2. So we're going to move to Job chapter number 3 today and bring a message from that. But before we do that, we've got a song by the Shepherd family. This song, I believe, is a great song, and it says, "My hope is in the blood." Friend, that's the only hope we have. What can wash away my sins? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I hope this song be a blessing to you as we listen to the Shepherd family, and then we turn in the scriptures to Job chapter number 3. In our Bible reading for this week, we're going to be in Job chapter number 1, verse number 8. Just reading the first part of that sentence. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" I've been preaching a series that I've entitled Considering Job. We have looked at several cases and several instances in the life of Job. We looked at Job's warfare, we looked at Job's wounding, and we looked at Job's witness and Job's waiting. In Job chapter number 1, verse 22, the Bible says, "In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And just last week finished up looking at Job's waiting. Now we're going to look at Job's wandering. Look at chapter number 3, Job chapter 3 and verse 23. Now let me say, as you're finding your place there, that Job's three friends came to comfort him. We've looked at the affliction that happened to Job chapter 1, and then the second affliction that happened to Job more personally, more intimately in his flesh, in chapter number 2. At the end of chapter number 2, Job's three friends came to comfort him. But rather than comforting him, they found themselves there at the end of chapter 2, only staring blankly at him for 7 days and 7 nights without speaking a single word to him. It was as if their words of comfort had been stripped away from their vocabulary. Thus, Job began to speak for himself in chapter number 3. Now, there's a question that arises. He asks numerous questions. But in verse number 23, his mouth is filled with extreme bitterness and anguish. And he asks this question, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in?" I want to read that again because that's the theme we're going to be looking at this week. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? Satan had said that if God would only allow him to afflict Job, that Job would curse God to his face. His wife had even said, "Curse God and die." But in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. But here we see Job making some complaints, but he's still not charging God. He's still not cursing God. He cursed the day he was born. He cursed his own life. Amen. He questioned a lot of things. You see, Job's case was so sad and so trying that life itself had become irksome to him. I believe in the statement that he uses here about light, when he asked the question, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid?" I believe he means the power to see light, or the life that lives in the light. Why, he asks in his agony, why is it that light and life is continued to a man when God has filled that man with sorrow on top of sorrow? The verses proceed in our text. Look at verse number 20 and down through verse number 22, still in Job chapter 3, verse 20 through 22. He said, "Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave." You see, Job was weary of living. He would rather die. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand all that. Well, I'm sure you don't. I'm sure I don't. Because you or I have never been in such a case as Job was. Amen. He was in a pitiful place, and his lamentation was pitiful. He seems to recall the extreme diseases and distress that has been brought to his life. But think about, just remember the distress that came upon Job all in a moment. He had lost all of his property, one thing after another, stroke after stroke. All of his wealth had been taken away from him. He could probably have borne that and withstood that if that had been his only loss. But close upon the heels of it came sore bereavement. His happy children, those whom he prayed for daily, those he cared about, those he sacrificed for, those he tenderly loved, were all destroyed in a moment while they were feasting in the house of the elder brother. I suspect that the calamity was all the greater, all the more severe, because it happened in the very midst of their joys. They were rejoicing and did not see the calamity coming, and it came. Job was sacrificing. Job was worshiping. Job was praying, and he didn't see the calamity coming. Amen. I would assume that if you or I had suffered as he did and been brought to such poverty and left childless and been tortured as he was from head to foot, even his wife rendering him no comfort, but rather, on the contrary, adding to his grief and woe, you or I might have said worse than Job did. Amen. Remember, my friend, that he said nothing against God in his deepest sorrow. He cursed most vehemently his day of birth in Job chapter 3, verse 1. He wished that he had never existed. Sure he did. Or that he might have quickly passed away to sleep with the generations that were gone before. Perhaps he may have said unwise things and even foolish expressions. Amen. But I'm afraid many of us would have used far worse words if we had been in his case. Don't condemn him. I don't think we have a right to condemn him. But I do believe there are some lessons that we can learn from his experience. When I read these words of Job, and when I read these statements about Job and his life, I don't see room for me to complain against him. I don't see room for me to cast mire upon him and dirt upon him, but rather I do see some lessons that we can learn. I believe that Job's experience teaches us, first of all, that we ought to see the small value of temporal things. Amen. Recognize how little property is. Recognize how little riches are. Recognize how small these temporal things are. Amen. Now, to have spiritual blessings and to enjoy them, that's one thing. But to have earthly blessings and to enjoy them, I believe, is a totally different thing. You may have an abundance of earthly joys, and yet they could be utterly tasteless to you. Maybe even bitter to your taste. Bitter as gall to you. You may even curse the day that you got them. Curse the day that they were given to you. I'm sure some of that has happened. Job speaks about concerning life. It's bitter to him. Although he's got life, he's still alive, and that is one of the chief things of all the earth. Amen. And one of the chief blessings of all the earth is to have life. And yet Job said, it's bitter. It's a bitter life. Amen. It's true, even though the devil said it in Job chapter 2, verse 4, the latter part. He said, all that a man hath will he give for his life. So many men will give anything just to have a little bit more life. And yet, it is possible to be brought into such a condition that we may wish that we had never been born. Amen. Life itself may become so wearisome to us that we may even wish to escape from it. We might long to rest, as we might hope. Amen. Job had once enjoyed every comfort that the heart could desire. He still had the blessing of life left to him, but that had become so soured, that had become, if you want to use it like milk, it had become so curdled that it was distasteful. It was even disgusting to him, and he longed to be rid of his life. Friend, I'm convinced that there are a lot of people out in sin, that their life has become so tasteless, their life has become so distressed and distasteful and disgusting to them, that they may come to the point that they'd rather be rid of life. But friend, I want to tell you something. You better make sure where your eternity is going to be. Amen. You ought to seek eternal treasures. And listen, when we recognize how little these earthly treasures are, how little value these earthly treasures are, how little lasting these treasures are, we ought to seek eternal treasures, heavenly treasures, where no moth can eat them, where no rust can mar them, where no fermentation or corruption can injure them, amen, but where we can have them forever and ever, where no thief breaks through to steal, amen, amen. Set up those eternal blessings. But the blessings you do have now, don't make them your God, because they're just a shadow that's going to pass away. Amen. They come and they go. If you make idols of them, the Lord may take them all away. Or he may let you keep some of them, but take your taste for them away, your enjoyment of them away. It's possible to have in abundance and not be able to relish the great things you have. The bread you eat, the drink that refreshes you, no longer brings you the joy. You remember when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and they wanted meat. They longed for meat. They lusted, the Bible said, after meat. And God sent them quail till it ran out their noses. Quail till they couldn't sit down to eat their quail. So many quail fell among them that they could not sit down. Do you think they enjoyed that? Oh, I'm sure they did at the beginning, but after a while they are sick of it. Amen. Can I tell you, you may have a loss of health. You may have a loss of all the power in order to be happy. And everything that men think are the cause of happiness might be laying right there at your feet, and yet you can't enjoy them because you've lost the power of happiness. Well, with this introduction in mind, I come to my text. I want you to notice three things that we're going to look at this week. First of all, we're going to look at the case which raises the question. There's a question asked. I want you to notice where this question came from. Secondly, we'll look at the question itself. And then thirdly, we'll look at some answers that might be given to the question. And here's the question. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? You see, Job was wondering about some things. He was wondering. Look with me, first of all. We'll just start in the first case. The case that raises the question. What caused it? Well, when he said, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? He's saying, actually, if I could paraphrase it in another term, he said, why does God permit men to live when their souls are under such deep depression and gloom? Why does God not let men die in a hurry? When their days are spent in weariness, their nights yield them neither refreshment nor rest, when they look upward and see nothing to give them hope, when they look onward and behold nothing but a dreadful present and a bleak future, why is it that God continues life to those that are in such sad circumstances? That's the question that he asks. Well, my friend, if life were not to continue, except to those who are bright of eye and fleet of foot and joyous of heart, how few people would actually live. If only people that had no problems had life, how few would have life. Amen. Think about this. If the first time that darkness fell upon a man's pathway, if he were permitted to die, well, then the whole population of the globe would be swept away. Amen. Many times in our murmuring, the petulance that we demand that we should rather die than suffer, friend, I'm telling you, that's not what God's will is. Sometimes he wants us to endure the suffering. Amen. In this case of Job's question, if a man finds himself entirely in the dark, God's presence is completely hidden from him, as it seemed to have been in Job's case. If he can find no joy in anything whatsoever, and his spirit is tossed to and fro with worries and perplexities, the question is, why does he continue to live? Why? That's the question that Job's asking. Another man here describes trouble that here's a problem in the way of trouble. He said it's trouble that he can see no reason for. His way is hid. That's what Job said. His way is hid. He can see no reason. Why has this come to pass? Friend, that's exactly where Job was. Job could not perceive in his own case any cause for the distress into which he had been plunged. As far as Job knew, he was walking uprightly. And according to the Bible, that's true. He had not sinned so as to now be suffering as a result of sin. He had not committed a crime. Else, if he had, he would have understood the punishment when it came to him. But he looked back upon all that he had done, and he could not see at his first glance any cause or reason for his affliction. Amen. Amen. Friend, there wasn't any reason these things should have happened to Job by way of punishment. He was not being punished. Matter of fact, the record of the Word of God clearly says he was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Amen. Friend, sometimes troubles come our way that we can see no reason for. And we may question those. And I'm running out of time, but let me just quickly say, turn your questions to God. Turn your questions to the Scriptures and call on God in your time of trouble. Thank you for listening. And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.